Delaware Woman Lands Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of the 12th Hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August the 20th, 2016, or 18, 2020. We will start our second service on the Sabbath day with a song entitled, Yahshua is Calling. Yahshua is tenderly calling you home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love will you roam, farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Call is tenderly calling today. Yahshua is calling the weary to rest. Calling today, calling today. Bring him your burden and you shall be blessed. He will not turn you away. Calling today, calling today. Yahshua is calling, is tenderly calling today. Yahshua is waiting, oh come to him now. Waiting today, come with your sins at his feet lowly bound. Come and no longer delay. Calling today, calling today. Yahshua's calling is tenderly calling today. Yahshua is pleading, oh hear now his voice. Hear him today, hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice, but they have fallen away. Calling today, calling today. Yahshua is calling, is tenderly calling today. Israel, Yahweh's Battle Axe, Part 3. We're reading from the little booklet by William N. Hollis. Okay, we're on page 36 of his little booklet, and this will, no doubt, we'll finish it up very shortly. It only goes to page 41. So, let's finish this up. Then I have a companion track that will follow up with it. And it's called Yahweh Said It, I Believe It, That Settles It, by the same author, William N. Hollis. And I'm going to read you a little bit about William N. Hollis here right now. William N. Hollis is a published author, lecturer, college teacher, genealogist, historian, archivist, Bible student, and businessman. He served 4 years in the U.S. Submarine Service during World War II with signal honors, and afterwards received a bachelor's and master's in education from the University of Houston. A father of 5 children, he recently celebrated his 40th wedding anniversary. Now, this is a long time ago. It shows a picture of him here with Eisenhower in 1959. The strange part about this little book is they don't give us a date, even when they publish this thing. So the nearest clue that we can get here is this 1959 date. and the fact that he was so active in during World War II. So no, William N. Hollis, no doubt is I believe he's dead, but now I think he died back in the 90s. But anyway, his works live on. He's a very good researcher. Got some pertinent information here for the tribe of Judah and the members of the kingdom of Judah and the religion about Judah's religion. All right. Now we're going to go back to our little book, the first one we were doing here. We're on page 36. We do just a little bit back up and review from our last study. It says that that we are the only people born with an innate desire to be a blessing to the other nations of the world, to be Elohim's witness to them, or to furnish missionaries to them, to often send our weapons and of war into their countries to rid them of the political coups, dictators, diseases, ignorance, famines, etc. That we do these things because Yahweh, the sovereign ruler of our universe, has willed it to be so. That as a race, we have no choice in the matter, that we do it for the Elohim's glory and to establish the kingdom of the Yahweh here on this earth with his laws enforced by their governments, that if pastors would but preach all of the Bible, including these biblical truths, a great revival would quickly ensue within our countries, our cities of Israel, and the gospel of the kingdom of the Yeshua. Notice I said Yeshua the Son. The death, resurrection, and saving grace of our Savior Yeshua Messiah would be eagerly accepted within the Gentile pagan nations of the world. Our Savior tells us that this must be done before he comes again. If the establishment church would preach this gospel of the kingdom of the Yahweh, or Yahshua, here on earth as Yahshua, Messiah preached it in Matthew 4:17-23, says, from that time Yahshua began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of the heaven, out of the article, the, as at the hand. Is at the very hand. I added all of that. At the very. Alright. And Yahshua went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now this, let me read that again and put a little bit of a rephrasing on that for the sake of better clarity. And Yahshua went about all of the Galilee teaching in their synagogues, their Jewish synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and preaching the plan of about the plan of salvation through the new and living way, that is to say, through his blood, that is to say, through his flesh, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, that is to say, through his flesh, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among people. So what one has to do is to believe and be obedient, and Yahweh will send you the answer for your healing, for everything you need in the way of the restoration of your mind, body, and spirit, and you can be divinely healed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. So our faith has floundered, and so we're having to rebuild our faith back to the place where we can do these things. Even as active leaders of the kingdom, we still have to be obedient to the word, and that we are to make it 100% in our lives and everything we do. And once we do that, we'll have no problem then in having the faith that whenever we need a real emergency, something to happen right now, it will happen. And also preach that Yahweh chose this race of the people to establish this kingdom, to be governed by His law. Then the pagan world of non-believers may, perhaps, look upon our race more favorably than they presently do. For the world might see then that Elohim's chosen race really was given eyes to see and ears to hear, and that the blessings which this race bestows upon them in the form of the foreign aids, starvation relief, Christian back loans for their governments, and typhoon, hurricane, tornadoes, and drought relief actually come from Yahweh, because He loves them, and that He gave all of these material things unto His chosen race so that they could be His distributors and labor pool here on earth. Perhaps then all knees will bow and tongues confess that Yahshua is the Messiah. After all, Elohim works through people and government. He does not skywrite. If Yahweh's purpose for both His chosen race and His kingdom here on earth were taught in the establishment church, then the gospel of the cross would be received more readily by the world. They would do so because they would then be able to see Yahshua in all of these events. Why shouldn't we experience the joy of Yahshua as we continue to be Elohim's battle axe, as He continues to build His kingdom here on earth? Even as this is written, the evening news was filled with the reporting of our government going before the United Nations to seek permission to use our troops to assure our relief supplies being delivered for the starving men, women, and children of Somalia, a black country in Africa, which has been ruled at one time or another by Germany, Italy, Britain, and the United States, but became an independent nation in 1960. It was necessary for us to send our weapons of war to Somalia, because the native warring factions there, all black, would forcibly take all of the supplies previously sent by the Christian Relief Society, all white, for themselves, leaving the masses to starve. This is a prime example of Yahweh using His battle axe to deliver the goods. It remains to be seen whether the world will praise or condemn us for this action. It might be added here that in the days past, we would have made this decision ourselves rather than seek the permission of the non-believing anti-Christ United Nations. If we remember, the world is composed principally of non-believers, which Yahshua Himself branded as anti-Messiah. We will not be surprised when these anti-Christians hurl their barbs for the accusations, their race-hating slogans at us for doing Elohim's will. This goes with the turf, so to speak, for doing a good. Remember, too, that it was non-believers who killed Yahshua Messiah and also the prophets. We know this because Yahshua told us so. The Bible tells us much more than what we are told in our current religious teaching. The Apostle Paul warns us in 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresy, even denying the Yeshua that bought them, and bring up on themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. As you must have seen by now, the Bible tells us much more than what we are currently told by our religious teachers. Yahweh knew this would happen, and it is for this reason he gave us the following admonition found in 2 Timothy 2:15. Stay to show ourselves approved unto Yahweh, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is what we have done in the foregoing. We have learned conclusively that Israel, not Jews, is Elohim's battle axe on earth. And we can also reason that this weapon of war must be wielded by the company, commonwealth of nations that were to spring from the seed of Ephraim. The term Ephraim is used extensively as a synonym for Israel in the Bible. Also, it is reasonable to assume that these Israel nations would all have governments based on Yahweh's law, and that they would necessarily have a kingdom form of government with a king or queen and a throne. It is this throne which has to have been perpetual. And as it is the throne which Yahshua Messiah will occupy upon his return. It has already been established that there has been and is only one such commonwealth of nations on earth. And the mother country, England, is also called the British people. We have related that this compounded word is comprised of the Hebrew words Brit-ish, which are translated covenant man, and their country is called Britain, from the Hebrew Brit-ain, A-I-N, equals covenant land. Another name for their commonwealth is the United Kingdom, or UK. So we have the covenant people, the only race with whom Elohim made a contract, located in their new land, the Isles of the Sea and coastlands, with a kingdom form of government and whose lineage goes back from Queen Elizabeth II to Zedekiah, the last Davidic king of Judah. The following is the most amazing discovery which I have made, and there have been many since. I embarked upon my mission to find the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We all know the story of Jacob wrestling all night with an angel of the Yahweh, and being completely exhausted, he placed his head on a stone for a pillow. Elohim changed his name to Israel, and from that day forward, he used the stone as a pillow for an altar to Yahweh. Hence, Jacob's pillar stone. This is the last we hear of the stone in the Bible. Also, the last we hear of the prophet Jeremiah is when the Yahweh told him to take the daughters of King Zedekiah to safety in Egypt, since he, Elohim, was going to bring ruin to both Zedekiah and his kingdom. Elohim followed through on this promise, and Zedekiah is the last Davidic king to serve there. In the Chronicles of Ireland, we find that a prophet came from Egypt with an entourage, including a scribe named Simeon, Baruch, and two daughters of Zedekiah. named Ascota and Tephi. They also brought with them Jacob's pillar stone. Tephi married Prince Hermon, the heir to the Irish throne. And when he was ascended, she was also made queen. Her sister Scota had already married in Iberia, Spain, which is the Hebrew word for Hebrews. And it was for her that Ireland received one of its earlier names, Scotia. From this point on, all of the kings and queens of Ireland were crowned while sitting on the pillar stone atop the hill of Tara. Fergus Moore Mac Eric, the founder of the Scottish monarchy and one of the blood royals of Ireland, received the stone in Scotland, and Kenneth MacAlpin finally deposited it in the Monastery of Scone, 846. Thus, all of the kings and queens of Scotland were crowned on the stone of Scone, and of course we know that James the Sixth of Scotland became James I of England and gave us the King James translation of the Latin Bible as our English KJV in 1611. Accident? Hardly. The stone was brought to London by Edward I in 1296 A.D. and placed in Westminster Abbey. King Edward had a beautiful hardwood chair carved to hold the stone, which was placed just below the seat of the throne chair. This is the coronation chair in which Queen Elizabeth II of England and her predecessors have been crowned. A picture of the chair with Jacob's pillar stone attached to the bottom of the seat is shown at right. It is taken out of the official guide to the abbey. I have seen and I have touched it. I know that it is there. Also, a picture of the pillar stone is included so that you may see how much the stone is worn from a pole having been placed through one iron carrying ring to the other. How many centuries would it take to wear this groove in the top of the stone when one would suppose that it was moved only occasionally? But the greater question is, why hasn't the establishment church told us these things and mired others regarding our racial history? They do not even tell us about the 10 lost tribes of Israel and their Assyrian captivity. Yet Yahweh told us in 2 Samuel 7:13, He, David, shall build a house for my name, and I, Yahweh, will establish the throne of David's kingdom forever. The coronation chair with Jacob's pillar stone. Jacob's pillar stone, the stone of stone. Okay, that's the end of the track, just like that. It shows the pictures here of the coronation chair. The Jacob's pillar stone shows that. And it shows Jacob's pillar stone, the stone of stone, and that's the last word in this book. It's over with. So what are we learning here? Well, we're learning that Yahweh said he would never lack a man to sit upon the throne of David. Well, there have been some people try to sit upon the throne of David. Some women, that is, as well. Okay, we have a second companion tract. It says, that's written by William N. Hollis. It's entitled, God Said It, I Believe It, That Settles It, or Does It? A Bible Believer's Test for Christians. So we're going to look at this truck and the companion trucks, what we just read, and see what we can learn. Yahweh said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Alright, it says, page 1. Most of us have seen this declaration on bumper stickers around the country from time to time, and perhaps have even had one of our own car, on our own car. I like the sticker. I only wish that it were true. Certainly what Elohim said is true, but I am not at all certain that the proud wearer of the bumper sticker believes it, and that settles it, though they may say that they do, and exhibit a bumper sticker to prove it. However, if we submit some of the following scriptures under them, which are all in the Holy Bible, we find that many of them absolutely do not believe what Yahweh has said. The purpose of this tract is for you to discover whether or not you are a true believer in Yahweh's word. Every scripture below is accurately quoted and located for you in the KJV Bible, along with a scoreboard, so that you may see for yourself if Yahweh said that settles it. Okay. Now it says, the Jews are Yahweh's chosen race. Heresy number 1. The establishment church teaches that the Jews are the chosen children of Israel in the Bible. But you see, this man, Hollis, I believe he is a Baptist. He might be a Presbyterian, I don't know. But he just used the term establishment church. But he won't tell us who claims to be this establishment church. So he's like all these other generic Christians, they say. And they didn't want to put the blame on something. They just say, the church stands for this. The church stands for that. What church? They just say, the church. As if there's only one church that we can hark back to. So anyway, he's saying the establishment church teaches. But I know the Seventh-day Adventist is an establishment church. I know that. And so it says, absolutely nowhere in the Bible does it say in Scripture that the Jew is an Israelite or that an Israelite is a Jew. Now that right there gives the man away to me, because this man obviously is not a student of the Hebrew chronology. Or he would know better than to make a statement like that. If a deep study would show at least that he would find out that Abraham was the first Hebrew to come across the river Euphrates out of Ur of the Chaldees. Okay, first one to come into the promised land, the land of Canaan. Please note that we said in Scripture, chapter headings and footnotes, which are found within the Scriptures, were placed there by man over the centuries, and often do not say what the scriptures relate. For example, they will often state that the Jews did this or the Jews did that. When upon reading the scriptures below these headings, we find that the terms Israelite and Hebrew were actually used instead of the term Jew. Footnotes often follow this same pattern. Now, you know, I don't understand how scholars and brilliant, so-called brilliant research people, ministers, that spend their whole life studying to show themselves approved and to try to be wise in the eyes of the world, and try to present themselves as alone and sole authority of his commentaries, especially on the Hebrew Israelite. Because all you have to do is go back to the beginning of Israel's identity, and that is with Jacob. Jacob is the first one that is associated with the word Israel. And it says that Yahweh said after he wrestled with the angel all night, his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. Israel is a sacred name for Yahweh's chosen people. So the Jews are Yahweh, part of Yahweh's chosen people. They're only of the tribe of Judah. The Hebrew don't give them Jew. You don't find Jew in Hebrew, but you find Judah in Hebrew. You'll find Judean in Hebrew, but you won't find the name Jew in there because it don't exist. That was just a created term by the Pharisees to create a derogatory term used for the Jews, like a cuss word, like a slang. Like something that they could pin on them and cause them to carry a bad image for the rest of their lives. Okay. Let us now go to Yahweh's Word, the Holy Bible, and see what it says about this teaching of the establishment church. Oh. So he's talking about the establishment church being the Jewish church. That the Jews are the chosen race of Yahweh. The Holy Bible teaches, Isaiah 41:8, Be thou, but thou, Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen. So now, this man is teaching that the establishment church is the house of Israel. Okay, I'll go along with that. Yahweh used the term Israel, not the term Jew. Well, but he did use the term Judah. To give to a human being named Judah. Judah was one of the sons of Jacob. And Judah was the head of the tribe of Judah, his family Lot. And David came through the tribe of Judah, and so did Yahshua come through the tribe of Judah. And so we learn that they were first called Christians at Antioch after the cross. These converts to Yeshua were called Christians, and those Pharisees at the cross is the ones that nicknamed the Judeans them Jews because they hated them, all right? Which was not in the original King James Bible. So it says, Yahweh used the term Israel, not the term Jew, which was not in the original King James Bible, but appeared in translations after 1745 A.D. It is a Shakespearean term. Jeremiah 50 verse 17. Israel is a scattered sheep. We see in these scriptures that Yahweh chose Jacob, Israel, and that Israel is referred to as sheep. John 10:25-26. Yahshua answered them, the Jews, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye Jews are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Yahweh said it. Do you believe it? Yes or no? They asked you the question. They're filling up which one? Yes or no? The Jews have the same God as do Christians. This is heresy number two. Now this man is asking the questions and he's calling them heresies. Oh no, he's giving you the heresy of what they say about it. Heresy number two, the establishment church. Now he's talking about the Jewish church teaches that the Jews have Yahweh, the great I Am of the Holy Bible. They just don't have Yahshua Messiah. But the Holy Bible teaches, John 12:44, Yeshua cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him, Elohim, that sent me. Now, I just can't believe that verse in John 12:44 reads that way. I'm going to go open my Bible and see how accurate this Sunday-keeping Gentile that's trying to act like an authority concerning the Jewish heritage. Let's go see what this intelligent person is trying to put across here. It's called John 12:44. Let's see what our intelligentsia man is trying to put across here to us. Alright, it says in 12:44, Yeshua cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. Well, that's what it says. Okay, let's go ahead now. John 4:6. We are of Yahweh. He that knoweth Yahweh heareth us. He that is not of Yahweh heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of the truth and the spirit of error. John 8:47. He that is of Yahweh heareth Yahweh's word. Yea, the Jews therefore hear them not, because you are not of Yahweh. You are not of the Yahweh. Okay, John, 2 John 1:9. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Yeshua hath not Yahweh. He that abideth in the doctrine of Yeshua, he hath both the Father and Son. And he regards no Father, no Son, no Son, no Father. Yahweh said it. Do you believe it? Yes or no? Yeshua came to the Jews, but they did not believe him. Heresy number 3. The establishment church teaches that the Yeshua Messiah, Elohim in the flesh, came to the Jews, but they did not believe him or in him. But the Holy Bible teaches, Matthew 15:24. But he, Yeshua Messiah, answered and said, I am not sent but only unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We have already seen that Yahweh chose Israel, that Israel is Jacob, and his 12 sons, that these children of Israel are Yahweh's sheep. Now we find that Yeshua Messiah came only unto them, because he said so. We find also that his sheep hear his voice and believe. They believe because they were given ears to hear and eyes to see. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The word lost here is the same word, number 622, in the Strong Concordance, which is used in Matthew 15:24 above, and they both have the exact meaning as the one used in Luke 15:9. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. In the previous scripture to this one, 8th verse, Yeshua tells us that she lost a piece of silver. Yet the establishment church teaches that Yeshua was searching for lost souls. Now we know the truth, which he stated in Matthew 15:24. He came to seek out the lost sheep of the house of Israel, which is exactly what he stated in this verse. Now I want to point out something here. This intelligent man, William N. Hollis, that I'm giving due respect to him and publishing his 2 little pamphlets, I want to show you how naive and how narrow-minded these Gentile ministers can be. because here in Luke 19 we have a surprise for everyone, because he's talking about Zacchaeus. Now in Zacchaeus 19, it says in verse 1, in Luke 19, talking about Zacchaeus, and Yahshua entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Okay, now so the publicans, they were your Orthodox Jews back there, along with your Pharisees and your Sadducees. And he sought to see Yahshua, who he was, and would not for the press, because he was a little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Yahshua came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Yahweh, Yeshua, behold, Master, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore unto him fourfold. And Yahshua said unto him, this day is salvation come unto this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So it's in verse 10. So there is Zacchaeus is a publican. He's one of those Orthodox Jews of the tribe of Judah, no doubt. And there he is, a thieving little Jew. And here's this smart man that I'm reading from, this real intelligentsia. He's wanting to make a real big point about, said, go on to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay. And so he's using this word lost. And then he goes on to say this, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. He quotes Luke 19:10 here. And I just quoted Luke 19, verse 1 through 10. And it was talking about Zacchaeus. But you see, this man avoided the first 9 verses there of Luke. He didn't want to have to be pinned down on the fact that this man, Zacchaeus, was one of those lost sheep, and he was of the tribe of Judah, which this man is saying that the Jews are a false people. Okay, so anyway, it says in the previous scripture to this one, 8th verse, Yahshua tells us that she lost a piece of silver. Okay. John 8:39-40. They, the Jews, answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Yahshua saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. We know now that Yahshua came to Israel and not the Jews, because the Israelites were taken captive to Assyria 740-721 BC and never returned to the promised land as punishment for returning to the worship of Baal. Elohim had caused Israel to lose their language and lose their identity. Since Yahshua made these statements in Judea when he was completely surrounded by Jews who by no stretch of the imagination or scripture could be considered lost in the sense that one loses a coin, we can be assured that our Savior certainly knew what he was talking about when he told us that he came only to seek and to save the lost sheep, the Israelites of the house of Israel. Okay. Alright. Now, I'm going to turn now to Matthew 10, where that most famous statement is made about go not in the way of the Samaritans or the Gentiles, but go ye as the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, the house of Israel. Well, the house of Israel is made up of 12 tribes, and Judah is one of those tribes. So the disciples were to go to the 12 tribes, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Even though the 10 tribes had been in captivity since 721 B.C., up to that time, only the 2 tribes were in Jerusalem at the time, present. But nevertheless, Yahshua said, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, the house of Israel is made up of 12 tribes. You can't call Judah the house of Israel and say this is the whole house of Israel. You can say Judah and Benjamin are 2 tribes of the house of Israel. But you can't say that they are the house of Israel. So, in Matthew 10, it says in verse 5, these 12 Yahshua sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay. Now, who were these lost sheep of the house of Israel? They were the lost sheep of the 10 tribes that had been lost since 721 B.C., and nobody knew where they were. But the Spirit knew where they were, and Zacchaeus was one of these lost sheep of the 10 tribes of Israel, of the 10 tribes in the north. Because when they were scattered in the north, they scattered all over the world. No doubt there was a bunch of them down in Jerusalem. And on the day of Pentecost, they came out of all countries wherein they had been scattered. They shook at Pentecost with the disciples there on the outpouring of Pentecost right after the Passover. When Yahshua had just gone back to heaven, they had the Passover and the Pentecost, and they said that people came in from all of those Asian countries round about north, of the north, all over the country. Well, that's where the 10 tribes had been scattered to, all over in that northern country, in 721 B.C. In that Matthew 10, 6, it says, but go rather unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, Yahshua just set the example. He went and found Zacchaeus. He said, now here's an example of what I'm talking about. You're to go by the Spirit. You stay in Jerusalem. And these outline little tributaries around Jerusalem for 3.5 years. You don't enter into any cities of the Samaritans or the Gentiles. You just go to the cities of Judah here in the south and search out the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he set them example by going to the coast and finding this Zidonian woman that came out of the coast of Zidon. She had a daughter that was afflicted with evil spirits, and she beseeched Yahshua to heal her daughter, and Yahshua did. And these were Gentiles from another coast. But Yahshua said, now, I went to the Samaritan woman up north. And I had a 2-day meeting with the whole town of Samaria. And they all came into the kingdom. That's Jerusalem. But he said, I'm telling you, when I leave here, you don't go out of the way of the Samaritans or the Gentiles, but you go right to the Lord's sheep of the house of Israel, which are right here in Jerusalem. They all been gathered right here in Jerusalem. That's the reason why the disciples were not commissioned to go to the Gentiles until 3.5 years later, and then they already raised up Paul to lead the way for them to go to the Gentile world. Okay, so there's a reason why I've been led to these 2 tracks. I don't know of any other tracks. I got these tracks back in 1994. Yahweh led me to some feast-keeping people. there in the Cleveland area back in 1994. And they had all these tracks. And they were attempting to keep the feast days, but they believed in animal sacrifices, and they killed a lamb every year for the Passover, literally killed one, sprinkled the blood upon their doorpost. And I worshiped with these people for several years, trying to get them to see the real truth of the law of the Spirit, how it works. Instead of killing that poor animal every year, like they did, that lamb, I was trying to show them where that had been done away at the cross, but keeping the feast days was right, that they should keep the feast days, and which they did. But they had a man that's the head of their little clan there, and he was a very, very hard-boiled person, and he wasn't in no mood for anybody coming in and taking over his kingdom. And so there you had it. But anyway, that man since has died a long time ago, and he was younger than me. He died a few years right after he rejected that message I gave him there in 94. He died in the middle of the 90s. And then he had at least five elders that met with him every week. And I know three of them have since died. He's died. Three of them have since died. They were all younger than me. But they all had their own agenda. And so Yahweh says, so he proved them out, and they proved to be false. And that's the way it is with all these people that claim to have the truth. Like this man here that I just read from, this Hollis. He provoked a lot of questions, all right. All right, let's go on now. John 8:39-40. He says, they, the Jews, answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Yahshua saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. We know now that Yahshua came to Israel and not the Jews. Well, you see now, here's this man here. He's totally in the dark. Yahshua, that's exactly who he came to, was the Jews, because they were the only ones present there at Jerusalem when he came. The 10 tribes, the Israelites, they were in captivity somewhere in the north. Nobody knew where any of them were at, but they knew where the Jews were at. And here's this man supposed to be so educated and so learned. He said, we know now Yahshua came to Israel and not to the Jews. Well, in a sense, he was right. He came to the Hebrew Israelites, because there was more than just the tribe of Judah represented there at Jerusalem when Yahshua came. It's just that the Judah was in charge of the temple because they're the lawgiver. And they were the last ones to go into captivity. After the 10 tribes went into captivity, the Judah went into captivity 121 years later, in about 605 B.C., and then they were the last, and then they came out of captivity, and we know that Cyrus was raised up to direct Judah that had come out of the 70-year captivity under Babylon, under Belshazzar. They were directed to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple, in which they did. Cyrus furnished the finances, so Judah is a they did come back out of captivity, and they were concentrated around Jerusalem when Yahshua came. But they weren't the only ones. You had Judah and Benjamin concentrated there, and then you had the lost sheep of the 10 tribes of Israel showed up when the apostles had the Pentecost. So then the lost sheep of the house of Israel showed up. And many of them were converted and were baptized. 3,000 and on the first day of Pentecost of the house of Israel. So Yahweh said, told the disciples, don't go into the way of the Samaritans and the Gentiles, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What did he do? He brought the lost sheep of the house of Israel to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Says they come out of all nations wherein they had been scattered round about from every dialect. They said they had every dialect in the world, of the Jewish dialect, of the different 12 tribes had a little different dialect, and they showed it there. Because when the disciples were speaking in Galilee on the day of Pentecost, they were let it be known that they were all of one accord with one language. But all of those that came in from the outlying country, they said, aren't these all Galileans? How is it that we understand in our own language what they're saying? Shows you right there that the 12 tribes of Israel was there represented. The lost sheep of the 12 tribes of Israel had been found. They came back right there at the Pentecost. All right. We know now that Yahshua came to Israel and not to Jews. Yeah. He came to the whole house of Israel because they had representatives there, except Judah was in charge of all the 12 tribes. Because the Israelites were taken captive to Assyria in about 721 B.C. and never returned to the Promised Land. No, they didn't return as a nation of the 10 tribes, but individuals returned, okay. As punishment for returning to the worship of Baal, Yahweh had caused Israel to lose their language and lose their identity. Since Yahshua made these statements in Judea, when he was completely surrounded by Jews, who by no stretch of the imagination or scripture could be considered lost in the sense that one loses a coin, we can be assured that our Savior certainly knew what he was talking about when he told us that he came only to seek and to save the lost sheep, Israelites of the house of Israel. All right, Yahweh said it. Do you believe it? Yes or no? The gospel was taken to the Gentiles. Now this is going to be number 4. And we'll start on it, but we're just about through with our time. Number 4, heresy. The establishment, the Jewish church teaches that since the Jews did not accept Yahshua Messiah or his teachings, it became necessary for the gospel to be taken to the Gentiles, any race but the Jews, and this is precisely what the apostles did. And we're going to learn and find out that the Gentiles were they were brethren to the 12 tribes of Israel. Paul said so in Ephesians chapter 2. This brings the close of our study this hour. We'll take this up in our next study. Let us close now with a song. Let the heavenly light shine through by the United Nations. Well, you would not have known about a wonderful God if you hadn't created you. And you would not have known about his vast creation and all that he can do. So draw near unto God, remember to pray, let the heavenly light shine through. And y'all in his mercy, when he comes again, will have a heavenly home for you. Let the heavenly light shine through, let the heavenly light shine through. And y'all in his mercy, when he comes again, will have a heavenly home for you. There would not have been a creation of earth if Yah had not come down. He spoke to put all creation heard and the world started spinning around. He spoke the word and the light appeared, he divided it from the night. And Yah saw that his work was good, created by his mind. Let the heavenly light shine through, let the heavenly light shine through. And Yah in his mercy, when he comes again, will have a heavenly home for you. Well, you climb upon a mountain and you look around, and the green valley below. There's a mountain up above that's shining with love, there's a peaceful river that flows. Well, the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and all that heaven can spare. And to think that this is just a glimpse of what's awaiting over there. Let the heavenly light shine through, let the heavenly light shine through. And the Yah in his mercy when he comes again, will have a heavenly home for you.